Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply. Meet your moment of calm. Primally Pure just expanded their Blue Tansy collection, and the new Blue Tansy Body Butter is already a ritual rooted in real life. It's cloud soft, it melts into the skin, and it's made from scratch with real biocompatible ingredients your body actually recognizes. Grass-fed tallow to fortify your skin barrier, mango and shea butters to replenish moisture, and beeswax for a breathable layer of protection. For mornings that feel full, for days that don't go as planned, for moments that seem chaotic, return to calm with skin that feels restored, protected, and buttery soft.
Everyone learns a language for different reasons. Maybe you want to watch K-dramas without subtitles or talk with family members in their native language. Your life is unique. Your language learning should be too. Rosetta Stone, the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years, just launched Rosetta Stone Sapphire, a new app that combines its proven immersion method with the latest innovation in technology to help you learn faster, personalize your lessons, and have more fun along the way. Most language apps teach the same generic topics. Sapphire helps you focus on what you actually want to talk about, whether that's travel, family, work, or your favorite hobbies. If you want to take your language skills to the next level, don't wait to try Rosetta Stone Sapphire. Listeners can get 20% off their Rosetta Stone Sapphire subscription when they sign up today. You'll get unlimited access to all 25 Rosetta Stone languages, plus all the new Sapphire learning tools. Visit rosettastone.com/audio to redeem your 20% off. That's rosettastone.com/audio and start learning a language for real.
What do you think about the Laker team now?
You follow the box scores of the games every day?
Just the Lakers.
You're kidding. That is really a compliment.
I was pleased to see you smile at the top of our show, because once the game starts, you have a game face. You don't smile much out there.
I don't think you have to do things for money anymore.
Correct.
What's up, Laker fans? Welcome to the Laker Film Room Podcast. I'm Pete, joined by Darius. Indeed, there are a few basketball pleasures greater in life than watching an all-time great in their prime really catch a rhythm. Luka Doncic had his 50 ball last night, just missed a 50-point triple-double, had 51. LeBron returned, and I thought it was a prototype game for LeBron. We'll talk about that a little bit later. The Lakers score more points than any starting lineup in 20 years. 137 points from a starting group that want to give DA a shout-out. Three straight games from him that there's a level of power and force from him that I think it's almost like your offensive line blocking really well. All of a sudden, your quarterback looks really good, and your running back looks really good, and the receivers are a little more open and all of that. That DA playing with the force that he has, I think, has been a huge boost. Another game, D, that Lakers kind of close game early on in that first half, and then blew it open in that third quarter and held on the rest of the way, mostly trading buckets. Not the defensive performance of the last few games, but really lit the Nets on fire on offense, my man. What did you see?
Yeah, it was a fantastic game from Luka, a fantastic game from Ayton, and Austin really like settling in several straight games. The four-game winning streak has also coincided with Austin looking more like the Austin Reeves from earlier in the season. Mm-hmm. And then LeBron, it's interesting. Sometimes I feel like when a star player plays a certain way, and then every single question is about how he played that specific way.
I didn't hear the post game and all of that afterwards.
There's like an interesting idea to me where it's just like, okay, y'all, like, I get it. It's very similar to like what was happening with Ayton.
They are looking for somebody to put right in the center of that whole thing. This is how they make their paper.
You know, Ayton had a good effort game and you know, a few games ago, and suddenly it's like every question is about like, hey, what'd you see out there about how Ayton played, seemed to be a very good Ayton performer. And it's just almost like, oh, like, okay, guys, we're a little too on the nose here about like what we're doing. But the LeBron stuff was great, but I'm pushing all that stuff to the side for a second. Luka had a little turnaround fadeaway basket from the right wing, and he's backpedaling. And as he's backpedaling, he makes the talking sound hand gesture to Matas Bouzelis. Now, you and I, Pete, both have an affinity for Bouzelis. Like, I really like him.
Oh, yeah.
He's just a young, rangy forward, has a ton of bounce, is like a creative finisher, and can play above the rim when his jumper's falling. It's like oh my goodness.
Super dynamic player, yeah. Learned himself a lesson last night, though.
Oh, boy, did he. And after the game, he got asked about what's his takeaway from it. He's just like, probably not to say anything to him, like not to talk to him. Because, boy, Luka gave this dude the you're talking too much, and then basically said, every time I see you in front of me, I'm going to kill you. And I looked at the matchup data, and when Bouzelis was the primary defender, Luka had 20 points against him. He went 8-for-11 from the field and 4-for-4 from behind the arc. He absolutely demolished Bouzelis. And Luka looked like he didn't quite have it at the very beginning from a shot-making perspective. Like totally his shot activated. Was not there.
Yeah.
And the passing was there, the driving stuff was there. Like, he had the rest of his floor game going, but the shot was not going in. And Bouzelis must have said something to him very early on, because Bouzelis did have it going. Both him and Giddy found their rhythm fairly early. And Luka was just like, oh, word? It reminded me of that game when the Lakers were in Cleveland with LeBron.
And he was super quiet for three quarters, and someone said some shit on the bench.
And someone said something to him from the sideline.
And his head snapped just around. Like,
he looked back like, I know you're not saying that to me. Oh, really?
Was that the game where he dunked on Kevin Love, or am I confusing the two games?
I can't remember, honestly. Like, this is what happens when a player's been with you for 8 seasons now. It's just like some of the games sort of mesh together.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Anyways, so Luka, Pete, 51 points, 10 rebounds, 9 assists. Just a dominant performance. And Mike was talking about this on the broadcast and post game. The 3-ball rhythm that he's in, it's coming off his hand like a laser beam. And like, Luka's got a very pretty shot off of the fingertips, like the ball rotation and the spin. It's a very nice looking shot. And it is dialed in right now with precision. And when he's shooting the ball like this, there's literally nothing that you can do with this guy. He is too damn good. And he's stepping into him. He's stepping back out of them. He is sidestepping into him. He, like, every manner of footwork to get to his 3-ball is working for him right now. And then it's setting up the rest of his game. It's making it so that he's so much more dangerous as a driver. They're running stack actions for him. He's getting all of the way to the basket in pick and roll scenarios. Just everything has been working for him. And he's just looked fantastic. And it's continued a string of games now where offensively he's been great, but defensively, I know last night was a defensive, like, oh, it wasn't a great game. But overall, we've been talking about this too, that defensively, he's also raised his level, and it's just been great to see.
It really has, and I've been encouraged by how many of his threes especially have been kind of in the flow of the offense, coming off of a handoff or coming off of a swing where he's the catch and shoot at the end of it. There was one where LeBron had a pretty wide open one that he moved one more to Luka that Luka cashed in, and now he's hitting on 11 attempts a game, dude. That's the thing, is it's, we talk a lot about the percentage, but it's really the volume that impacts the game the most. And his ability to do it more and more in the flow of the offense is, to me, what allows the team to also cook in the same game that he has 51 points. And coming out of the gates, you know, they started with the much maligned old starting lineup that was, to me, the sharpest that group has ever looked. And that's a good thing. That's a totally different look than the one with Marcus. That is a nowhere to hide on offense type of lineup that has not been good on offense throughout the course of this season. That there was just a level of connectivity and life and spirit that I thought LeBron was a huge part of. But it starts with Luka, and with Luka playing that way and playing that way on both ends of the floor. And the level of cohesion from that group was really exciting to see. Let's take a break here, come back, talk more about that, and get into LeBron.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
If you've ever tried putting sunscreen on kids, you know it can turn into a full negotiation or a meltdown. It used to be a bit of a battle for us until I found Primally Pure Sunstick. It's super quick. No mess. No rubbing anything in forever. You just swipe it on and you're done. It's mineral-based with non-nano zinc and really simple ingredients, which I feel good about using on my kids. It's just clean, easy coverage that doesn't slow us down. So if you've ever stood there reading the back of a sunscreen bottle, shop Primally Pure's SPF collection for simple, non-toxic ingredients you can trust.
Everyone learns a language for different reasons. Maybe you want to watch K-dramas without subtitles or talk with family members in their native language. Your life is unique. Your language learning should be too. Rosetta Stone, the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years, just launched Rosetta Stone Sapphire, a new app that combines its proven immersion method with the latest innovation in technology to help you learn faster, personalize your lessons, and have more fun along the way. Most language apps teach the same generic topics. Sapphire helps you focus on what you actually want to talk about, whether that's travel, family, work, or your favorite hobbies. If you want to take your language skills to the next level, don't wait to try Rosetta Stone Sapphire. Listeners can get 20% off their Rosetta Stone Sapphire subscription when they sign up today. You'll get unlimited access to all 25 Rosetta Stone languages, plus all the new Sapphire learning tools. Visit rosettastone.com/audio to redeem your 20% off. That's rosettastone.com/audio and start learning a language for real.
Just to put a capper on your Luka stuff, Pete, last five games, 42.4% from three on 13.2 attempts a game. He's averaging 37.6 points per game and shooting damn near 50% from the floor, 49.6. So 49, 42, and 82 from the line the last five games. All right, five games, small sample. Last 20 games, 31.8 points a game, 49% from the field, 41.4% from three on 11 attempts per game, and 75% from the foul line. 8.3 rebounds, 8.1 assists, a steal and a half, and a half a block a game. I get that there's always going to be things to nitpick about any player. That said, Luka's been fantastic, and he's been the driver of pretty much everything the Lakers have been doing. And with the recent uptick in defensive efficiency, which is something that Mike actually wrote about at Lakers.com, the Lakers, since January 1st, they've been 15th in the league in defensive efficiency. And this is where I'll pivot to LeBron. The activity that LeBron was showing in his first game back, like, I think that's going to tie in to some of the defensive stuff and even like how he can be a true connecting player offensively that is going to help players like Luka. It's going to help Austin. I think it's going to help Rui. It's going to help Ayton. There's like all of this level of play that it was just nice to see LeBron fit right in. And I get that that was a storyline that I was a little bit like not mocking earlier, but it was very much like a point of emphasis after the game. And so I wonder how long this may or may not last, but he can definitely play exactly like this on most nights. And I know that this is a style that is super useful to the team.
It very much is, because there's so much offensive talent on the floor at other spots that really avoiding a you take your turn and we all stand and watch you, and then I take my turn and you all stand and watch me. Avoiding that is, I think, paramount, and getting more into there's a lot more handoffs, a lot more pass, cut, replace, the ball touching multiple hands on the same possession. That just requires a level of spirit and get up and go that I thought he was fantastic at in this game. That Luka and Austin need activity around them. And LeBron is capable of being at really either end of the spectrum in that respect, in that most guys who can play with activity don't come with anywhere near the level of IQ and skill level that he does. And he doesn't get nearly enough credit for how good he is fundamentally, like setting screens or pass, cut, replace, like understanding where to go and when. He had this amazing like late cut in an early offense situation with Austin early in the game that those two just manipulated the spacing of the transition play perfectly and got LeBron a dunk out of it. When LeBron decides to play like a connecting player, he can still get numbers, but I don't think it's coincidence that LeBron decides to play like that in that game and they score 137 points and look as good as they have that particular five all year long. And so when he decides to play this type of way, I just think it activates everybody else and it just sets up, I think, a fascinating close to the season.
Yeah, and this is where I know you said that you didn't listen to all of the post-game stuff, but this is where everyone, and I think this includes JJ, I also think it includes LeBron, and Austin, and Luka, honestly. Everyone has an idea of how each player within the group should play in order for the team to be at their best. And I think we've seen an excellent representation of that from DeAndre Ayton in the last several games, where his activity on the backboards, how often he's crashing and just getting his hand on the ball offensively, the number of second chance opportunities that he's creating, and defensively just having a level of care to what he's doing, even if it's not always leading to a stop. The number of times I saw him get upset at knowing that he was like a couple of fingertips away from getting a deflection and he didn't get it, and him visibly slapping his hands and being like, damn it.
That's
like,
all you
I
want.
I wanted that one.
I just want you to care. Yeah, that's great.
There's a care factor there that I think is super important. And I think that once you see a game or two of that from him, then the questions are all about that sort of thing. He had an interesting quote post-game as well, where he was just like, you know, I've caught up to where the rest of the team was in terms of that regard, right? In terms of playing harder and being more locked in. He's like, I wasn't there, but now I feel like I've caught it up some. And I think that's a very eyes open sort of quote from him. This comes a game after his media session was a little bit like short. As the team ramps up and is gearing towards something, it's time to be the best version you can be for the team. And that was something that LeBron was hinting at in some of his comments, right? So you can frame LeBron's sacrifice, which was a word that JJ used post-game, that, you know, LeBron is sacrificing parts of his game because of his understanding that Luka and Austin need, like, on-ball time. And because of that on-ball time, LeBron's had 23 years or 22-plus years of being a guy who has the ball, right? And so him taking a step back from that in benefit of Austin and Luka, that can be framed as, oh, well, you're sacrificing for Austin and Luka. But if that's what's best for the team, then that's the path everyone needs to be on.
Yeah, and he'll get his numbers and he'll get his glory out of that because Lakers are going to win. On top of all of that, the connector stuff, the stuff that you need everybody except the guys that have the ball a lot to do, LeBron is great at that stuff. Like, he's legitimately great. He just usually has the ball. So he's going to get all sorts of cuts and open shots. And, like, I think there's a way for everybody to win in this.
There is. This is what's made LeBron the ultimate shapeshifter over the course of his career. I get that his primary job has been be the best shot creator in the world. And he's the all-time leading scorer. He's got over 10,000 assists. He's got over 10,000 rebounds. There's not a thing that he can't do on the basketball court. And the framework of, well, figure out what your team needs and just go do it. I'm sorry, there's like maybe 10 players in the history of the league that can be a job description for them, and they perform it at an all-NBA level or an all-star level.
Yeah, because they've got the skeleton key. Not many people have had access to that skeleton key.
Yeah, it's just like Magic Johnson, LeBron James, Larry Bird, Michael Jordan. You know what I mean? Because you also need a certain amount of like ball handling and individual shot creation too. So it's just like, we're not talking about like the Kareems and the Wilts and like Shaqs. Those guys are special in their own way, but they're not also, we'll give that guy the ball in the backcourt and let him diagram
a
play. Right? So anyways, one of the things I was most impressed about with LeBron was just how active he was on the backboards. He was swooping in and grabbing defensive rebounds and kicking the ball out. And even in the first part of the game, you could tell he was making an emphasis to sort of get his body into a rhythm of just running around the court and doing all of the little things. And he was passing up shots. JJ said after the game, he's like, man, we ran like four plays for you and you didn't even look at the rim.
Didn't even look at the basket. Yeah.
Right. And LeBron's just like, hey, I'm finding my flow here. Just give me a little bit of time. Right. But LeBron can get you 15 points a night just on transition and post-duckins. Mm-hmm. Like, you add then a actual post-up or him running a pick and roll or him getting a spot up three, and suddenly it's at 18 or 20 points, and he's really just playing all within the flow of the game.
And Redick had a great quote afterward, too, talking about just playing the game that's in front of you, which on some nights is going to mean that LeBron does get the ball, and he does play the role that he always has as that on-ball type of player. And so it's really going to matter from night to night, and some nights we're going to be having this exact same conversation about Austin Reeves. I don't think the same is true of Luka. I think Luka is going to be against all 29 other teams. This is your job and your role. But I do see LeBron and Austin both having a certain, don't take your turn, but take your time. The game is going to flow in a certain way where I thought Austin did a phenomenal job of picking his spots, meaning that there's this little stretch, I'm being guarded by this smaller guy that can't guard me. They've got this big out here, they're paying attention to these other things, and Austin just carved them up. It was one of my favorite sort of combination punches from the stars last night. Luka's doing his thing, and now Austin's kicking your ass, and I see them starting to understand when to step into a moment and when to let another guy shine.
I thought Austin was brilliant, and his ability to get you 30 points is like his downhill ability and his ability to touch paint and get into the restricted area or around the restricted area as a guard who is fast but not De'Aaron Fox, is big but not Luka big, is a good shooter but not a great shooter. You know what I mean? His skill level NBA Jam meters are like all like 7 or above. And for handle, I would say that he's got like a really quick and decisive handle in terms of what he can do. But even that, he's not Kyrie. But combine it all, and it's just like, oh, well, he's a little bit faster than you think. He's a little bit bigger and stronger than you think. He's more deceptive, and he's a good enough shooter that if you get him within 15 feet, he's going to make all of these shots, and he's a crafty finisher around the basket. And then when his three ball is falling, similar to Luka, it's like, well, what do you do with this guy? So let's go to break here, Pete. And when we come back, I want to zoom out not only on the recent stretch of games, which have all been wins, but to the next stretch of games, because the Lakers are about to be in the mix now with the toughest part of their schedule.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply. Meet your moment of calm. Primally Pure just expanded their Blue Tansy collection, and the new Blue Tansy Body Butter is already a ritual rooted in real life. It's cloud soft, it melts into the skin, and it's made from scratch with real biocompatible ingredients your body actually recognizes. Grass-fed tallow to fortify your skin barrier, mango and shea butters to replenish moisture, and beeswax for a breathable layer of protection. For mornings that feel full, for days that don't go as planned, for moments that seem chaotic, return to calm with skin that feels restored, protected, and buttery soft.
Everyone learns a language for different reasons. Maybe you want to watch K-dramas without subtitles or talk with family members in their native language. Your life is unique. Your language learning should be too. Rosetta Stone, the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years, just launched Rosetta Stone Sapphire, a new app that combines its proven immersion method with the latest innovation in technology to help you learn faster, personalize your lessons, and have more fun along the way. Most language apps teach the same generic topics. Sapphire helps you focus on what you actually want to talk about, whether that's travel, family, work, or your favorite hobbies. If you want to take your language skills to the next level, don't wait to try Rosetta Stone Sapphire. Listeners can get 20% off their Rosetta Stone Sapphire subscription when they sign up today. You'll get unlimited access to all 25 Rosetta Stone languages, plus all the new Sapphire learning tools. Visit rosettastone.com/audio to redeem your 20% off. That's rosettastone.com/audio and start learning a language for real.
It's always interesting to me when we look at things. Lakers are the 3 seed now. Again, we talk about this every day. These things change overnight. But a couple of good wins over the Knicks and then the Timberwolves. And now they beat the Bulls. But Saturday, it's Denver. And then next week, they go on the road for a long road trip. They've got a 2-game series against the Rockets, which will decide the tiebreaker. Houston is up 1-0 in at the tiebreaker, so those are two important games. And then they go east and play some very good teams, including Detroit is on that road trip too, Pete. And so it's like, this is it for the Lakers. This is the part of the season where I think if it's proving ground time or it's like iron sharpens iron, it's time to get ready for the playoffs, I think this is the stretch of the schedule that's really going to do it for them either way and show us what they are, or at least to level to that they're at now. And so what's your takeaway in looking forward?
I love it. This is that iron sharpens iron stretch for me. One of my favorite parts of the year. And I think the Lakers are starting to really click at exactly the right time. It starts for me with this game against the Nuggets on Saturday that will decide the tiebreaker against them. The last couple of games have revealed, I think, some of the matchup issues. The Lakers' inability to guard both Murray and Jokic and kind of the problems that they pose for the Lakers. And then the solution defensively, just more and more I think steals, deflections, getting your hand on the ball, it's a central component of this Lakers team. That I just made an offside video on this topic, and that's part of Luka's emergence, is just that ability to read something quickly. LeBron did this a couple times last night where he's just early on a read and he's slapping the ball away. You were talking about sort of him getting back into the flow. One of the things is that he talks more and more effectively than anybody else on our back line. So when LeBron is turned up as a defender, it has a team-wide effect, because when LeBron is talking like that, it helps everybody else see something at roughly the same rate that LeBron is seeing. It's a little behind, of course, but that whole idea, D, like the whole team gets better defensively when LeBron starts talking and communicating.
There was a great play that symbolized that. I think it was Trey Jones who had like sort of snaked by, and LeBron was like early in pointing Ayton, you got to slide down. Ayton challenged, and Jones missed the layup right at the end. Ayton barely got there right at the nick of time to like challenge the shot. And you're right. It's like all of that communication and him sliding guys into better position earlier, just with enough time to impact the play, is critical to the overall team chemistry defensively.
Absolutely. And so the application of that to Denver is I think we got to attack their handle. We forced Jokic into 9 turnovers. Murray, we had our best results against him when we put 2 on the ball. Now, that was a game without Jokic, and putting 2 on the ball and it's somebody other than Jokic could probably be quite dangerous, D. But I'm curious your thoughts about them specifically. And then same question to you just about that upcoming stretch coming up.
Yeah, the Denver game is one that I've got circled, particularly because I think it's one of the more important matchups that the Lakers have to feel comfortable in the playoffs in general. I don't know if they'll end up facing Denver, but if you're going to get through the West, I get it. Now it's everything shifted to OKC and San Antonio. The Lakers just lost to Minnesota last year, but Denver is like that team that they've had big matchups with multiple times over the years.
And we were having similar conversations about Denver last year in that like, ooh, they look a little bit wobbly, and then they gave OKC a hell of a shot. That was a great series. They're a team that's going to turn up when the lights turn bright.
Their best players are built for the playoffs. Just like I would argue LeBron and Luka are playoff risers, Murray and Jokic are playoff risers. And bringing it back to Saturday's matchup, the last time these two teams played, Ayton left after 4.5 minutes, and the game was never quite there for the Lakers. They battled back, and they were close, but I thought the Lakers lost that game in those first 5 minutes that Ayton played. Ayton went out, and then the Lakers got it to within 1, but they never got all the way back out of the hole that they had dug to start the game. And I think a critical idea for the Lakers is, can you be the team that gets up early? The last couple times that they've played them, Murray has really set the tone in saying, I'm establishing something here and giving them a big lead. without Jokic, the Lakers then just trapped him, put two in the ball, and then that ended that. But with Jokic, it's just like, no, that's a 1-2 punch that the Lakers, I think, are going to have a hard time surviving. I think the way to do it then is to wobble them early and put them on the defensive. Mm-hmm. And I think that the Lakers aren't going to do that with their defense. They're going to have to do it with their offense.
I agree with that. And I think that the Denver series is more of a Jackson and a small ball type of series than it is an Ayton series, through no fault of Ayton's. It's just, I think, from a styles make fights type of standpoint. The Lakers did this last year of putting a smaller guard on Jokic to front the post and then sending help behind him. Alex Caruso famously did that in that OKC-Denver series. And I think that that sort of switch and swarm, speed-based, spacing five-out type of group, those have been the clues that have been left behind. After the last game, Redick really lamented not having Maxi Kleba for that matchup. And so that, to me, is kind of where the winds are blowing against Denver, is this Jackson using his speed, his athleticism, his vertical spacing, then the small ball type of groups that can really spread them out and get them out of those deep drops that they ran. Like, remember we said prior to that game, it was like, you know, it's not something that they normally do, but they did it against the Lakers because that's really been the coverage the Lakers have struggled against. And so super curious to see how they come out in that respect.
Yeah, the last thing I'll say about the Denver matchup is I agree with you, but only to a certain extent. This version of Ayton is a much better matchup for Denver than the version that we saw when he was playing less. And I also think that LeBron is a pivotal figure against Denver because he has the strength to front Jokic with a big behind. And I'll be very interested to see if the Lakers deploy matchups where they put a big on like Christian Brown, similar to what they did against the Knicks last season, where they put a wing on Towns and put Jackson on Josh Hart. I think if you decide, well, let's try to front the post with LeBron, and then if they run pick and rolls, then it's LeBron switching out onto a ball handler, and then you shrink the floor behind that, or try to send two at Murray and then scram LeBron back into a different matchup. Like, there's a bunch of different like playoff level game plans that you could try to deploy against Denver. That's what I do think it's going to take to beat them from a defensive perspective. But again, offensively, I think that the Lakers need to get Denver on their heels and they need to get them out of their comfort zone defensively. And that's why I'm saying that a deep drop against Hayes can be super effective against that. He got a lot of finishes at the basket playing two-man game with Luka. But I also think that a deep drop also enables the pocket pass, and that's a place where Ayton can really thrive as well. And so I do think offensively it's got to be about, is the jumper falling for Luka and Austin, and what is the activity level of both bigs? Because I get what you're saying about Jackson's speed being important, but I also think Ayton's strength and his ability to sort of be a backline player and clean the glass a little bit better, particularly if Aaron Gordon is back in the rotation or back healthy. He missed this last game against the Spurs, but I think that was because it was like a back-to-back, and like they're trying to monitor his minutes. You need more size on the back line, and that's where I worry about Jackson as well.
I totally get it. I actually think that they're a matchup, though, that you need more speed against because of their ability to spread you out offensively. It's more about DA's ability to close out to the three-point line and rotate, and it's, again, no fault of his own. This is just a big who's built like him. This is not the style of basketball they're really built for, and I think we've got better looks to help contain that. So should be a good one. We will be back on Monday to talk about how it all went, but until then, you've been listening to the Laker Film Room Podcast. We'll catch you guys next time.
James has got it in low to McHale. McHale wants to turn. He's double teamed. Just pass out of front. Broken up by Worthy. Tip to Magic. Worthy dies on his belly. Magic scores.
There's Magic got it. Magic fires. It's good. The Lakers win the game. The Lakers win the game. Rebound to Lottie. 3 seconds left. Van Exel the winner. It's on the way. Good.
Kobe Bryant. 48 points. 16 rebounds. With his eighth block shot that ties an NBA Finals record.
A lot of Laker fans sticking around for this.
You're seeing something that's very rare indeed. A Laker to get MVP chance
in Boston. Of all places.
Are you kidding me?
Kobe, hard to believe.
Are you kidding me? Unreal. Are you kidding me?
Lakers looking to push. Bryant spinning in the lane. Back for Gasol. Pretty pass. And it's back to a three-point game.
Kobe Bryant, picked up by Bell.
There's the move.
Two, one,
miss it!
Bryant, one, two.
It's over.
And shot clock now to five. Bryant.
Yes.
And that was a little tough to Alvin Gentry.
Add insult to injury, Kobe. I mean, what a shot. I mean, you can't defend that. Are you kidding me?
2.1 seconds remaining. Denver a foul to give. Jokic trying to disrupt Rondo. He puts it in. Here's Davis. 4-3 in the win. Oh, it's good. Anthony Davis has won it for the Lakers. James again. Oh, he hits another one. LeBron James putting together a closing quarter against the Nuggets.
This historic 2020 NBA championship belongs to the Los Angeles Lakers. The Lakers conquer the bubble, and banner number 17 will soon hang in the rafters.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.